صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. محمد رسول الله، والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم، تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا، صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers, we are discussing the ayat of the Quran Sharif in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala describes the sifats, the qualities, the attributes, the traits, the characteristics of those who are Ibadur Rahman. And from there we switched over to an incident in the life of Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala an, and those who made the first hijrat to Abyssinia. I mentioned that Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala an, in the court of Najashi, Negus, the king of Abyssinia, he mentioned why they had to leave Makkah Mukarrama and come over to Ethiopia, or in those days known as Abyssinia. He gave an explanation of what they were indulging in prior to the coming of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the changes that came in their lives after Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered his message, and they accepted it and they practiced and acted upon it. The indulgence in murder, killings, rape, burying young daughters, eating up or devouring the properties of widows and orphans, and all other kinds of sins that we can think of, and evil that we can think of. As a Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's coming changed all that, and that they did not believe in anything different from that which the prophets of the past preached. So much so that their belief with regards to Hazrat Maryam was the same, that she gave birth to Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and this was a miraculous birth, and that he was a prophet and a messenger of Allah. So what I was discussing was that the first thing that came after aqaid was character. It was akhlaq. It was the dealings between people. And from there we went on to discuss the hadith in which Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he returns from the cave of Hira, then he tells Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha that I am very worried and concerned about my life. She consoles him, and what she mentioned is important. So if I recall correctly, that is where we stopped, that we were discussing that what did Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha say to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with whom she had spent almost 15 years as his wife. In 15 years, a wife gets to know the husband better than anyone else. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was consoled in beautiful words. Kalla wallahi la yukhzika Allahu abada. Never, never ever will Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala allow any humiliation, disgrace, suffering to come upon you, because you have got some wonderful qualities, some wonderful characteristics. In other words, I have seen that in your life in the past 15 years that I have spent with you. And in fact, she saw that even prior to that. It was her reason for proposing directly to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was that she saw how honest he was in the trade dealings, the merchandise that he took. And he went to Syria how honest he was. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha's servant who was with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he came and reported that how truthful, how honest Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was, and that in how he was able to make a prophet in spite of his honesty and truthfulness, and the wonderful character of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam along the way. So that is what influenced her. So now this Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha says that Allah will never allow any disgrace and humiliation to come upon you, because the first thing that she mentions is innaka latasilur rahim, that you are one who maintains family ties and family bond. This is something that you maintain. There are many ayats in the Quran Sharif where we have been warned about breaking of family relationship. There are many hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam about the azab and the punishment upon those who break off family ties. But I am not going into that aspect today. What I am discussing is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam went out of his way to assist those who were in his family when they were suffering, when they were in need, when they required his assistance. Then he went out of his way to assist them. And not only the family, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam assisted and helped, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam assisted and helped the entire ummah. But here the emphasis is placed on this by Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, to drive home a lesson that this is where you get to know the character of a person. As I explained, I think, that the first people that you come into contact with, the child comes into contact with his parents, his brothers and sisters, his other family members, and then it goes on. And as he grows up, he comes into contact with other members of the society. But the first relationship is with the parents and with the family members. And that is where the true test of a person lies. That is where the true test lies. Because when a person is good to others, then they appreciate sometimes the goodness, the charity, the ihsan of the others. But when it comes to family members, then because they always have a hope, and when they find that what they had in their minds or what they hoped for was not realized, so it leads to enmity, it leads to arguments, it leads to a lot of resentment and malice and jealousy and envy. And this is where the problem is, that the major cause of the split, the major cause of arguments, the major cause of disunity between family members, the reason for that is that everybody has got a hope in the other person. I am not saying that it is haram. At certain times, it is not haram. Like little children, now if they are having a certain amount of hope that the parents are going to treat them in this manner or that manner, then that is expected, it is natural. Or the same with the parents, if they are expecting that the children are going to respect me, they are going to treat me in a good way, in a pleasant manner, they are not going to back answer, they are not going to be harsh, they are not going to be hard, then that is expected. But the person who is a true mu'min, the person who has got Allah in his heart, the person who has got Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's greatness and qudrat, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's love in his heart, then he does not cast his glance on any person. He does not look forward to favors from anybody. If somebody is generous and kind, then he appreciates, and according to the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ, that the person who is not grateful to any human being who has been good to him, if he does not show gratitude, he does not make shukr, then he is not even grateful to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because Allah ta'ala is not going to send directly into a person's home. He is going to use the creation. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if he provides for somebody from sources unknown to him, it will still be via somebody in the creation. But he must not have that hope on any person. The problem is this, that parents have got high hopes that these children of mine, they will grow up. They will go to the university. They will get some chain of degrees. And then when they are qualified, they will get a very high post and position in some university or college as lecturers. Or they will go into some other profession, and then they will earn huge amounts of monies. And then they are going to take care of us, and they will treat us in a good way, and they will provide everything for us and maintain our home. Now they've got all these big ideas in their minds. But unfortunately, it does not happen like that. That child grew up, got married, and decided to settle somewhere else, or became so heavily influenced with the wife's demands that forgot the parents altogether. Completely forgot the parents. Now all those castles that those parents had built, they have all collapsed. And as a result now, this is going to lead to not only a fight and an argument between parents and children, but it is going to go very, very far. The same happens when a friend has got high hopes that this friend of mine is going to assist me, come what may. He is such a close friend of mine. He is so close to me, and he is so trustworthy, and he is so loyal, that whenever I am in need of a loan, or when I am in need of assistance, then this friend is definitely going to come to my assistance. But unfortunately, it does not happen like that all the time. And that is where you have problems. The mother-in-laws have great hopes that these daughter-in-laws of mine are going to treat me in a particular manner. They are going to treat them in a certain fashion. But then, when those daughter-in-laws come, then they do not get that kind of treatment. So again, there's dispute and there's argument. Or the other way around. So this is something that is common. Brothers have got high hopes that my brother who is in business and he is doing very well, I am just working for someone, I do not have sufficient amount to live on also. So this brother of mine, it is now his duty that he must give me what I require. Now when that brother does not give, or that uncle does not help, or that nephew does not come to his assistance, then straight away we start having fights and problems. So this is where the real test is, that the person goes out of his way to be good, to be kind, to be hospitable, to be charitable, to be generous towards his family members. And in return they get nothing but curses, swearing, and all kinds of criticism. So at that time the test is there, that does this person now withdraw those favors because he did not get the response that he had desired. The response that he wanted was that now this person must also make salam to him, he must bow down before him, he must thank him over and over, and he must also be good to him. But unfortunately that did not happen. So now this is where the true test is, that does a person go out of his way now to still assist, and he fulfills that sunnah of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which you have heard many times, that when Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when there was a slander campaign against her, it's a long story which you have heard many times, but at the end of it, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed the ayats of the Quran Sharif to clear her name, that she is pure, she is clean, she has no evil in her life, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed the ayats in Surah Nur. Then after that, because there was one cousin of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, Mistah, and he was also involved in this campaign to some extent, and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to assist him, he used to be helping him. So because of this involvement of this cousin, he decided to withdraw this assistance that he was giving to Mistah radiallahu ta'ala an. The Quranic verses were revealed. Ala tuhibbuna yaghfir Allahu lakum. But before that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that whomsoever Allah ta'ala has blessed with grace, then they should not take such a qasam that we will not help and not assist, and it goes on. So here Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he then said, definitely I also want Allah ta'ala to forgive me. Because the Quran verses say that don't you wish Allah ta'ala to forgive you? If you want Allah ta'ala to forgive you, then you also forgive. So he did not only continue, he did not just give him what he was giving him before. In fact, he doubled and multiplied what he was giving before this campaign. So this is the sunnah that this relative fulfills. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if we have to discuss this sila rahmi, it's a whole subject on its own. But just to come back to the subject, that Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she told Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam that since you are so kind to your family members, you are so kind to your relatives, you are so good to those who are your blood relationship. So therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will not cause any embarrassment to come upon you. Allah will not cause any disgrace to come upon you. Because all these people will be witnesses to the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very good to them. We will go on to the next one again, inshallah. We will come back to this subject because it's a very important subject. Rasulullah Pak Rasam has mentioned that there are certain sins, the forgiveness of which lies in being good to your family members. Those sins are, of course, not that you, if a person steals somebody's property and then he is good to his family members, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will become very pleased and forgive his sins. We are not referring to those sins. We are talking about certain minor sins, certain other sins that the person commits in which huququl ibad is not violated. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala forgives those sins when this person is good, generous and kind towards his family members. But it is a different subject. So Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, Kalla wallahi la yukhzika Allahu abada innaka latasilur rahim wa tahmilul kal. And you carry the burden of others. Now here the burden of others, there are many, many meanings for it. But one is what we all understand, that if a person has got some parcels and he is walking along and he is old and he is feeble, or he cannot manage carrying those parcels, then we help him to carry the parcel. Or the person wants to cross the street and we help the person to cross the street. But that is not what it only means. Here it means that those people, for example, who are in debts, they have got qarz on them. They cannot pay the debt, and it's a legitimate debt. We are not talking about those debts that people incur in the printing of wedding cards running into thousands of rands, and in the organizing of the weddings which run into hundreds of thousands and sometimes million plus. We are not talking about those kind of debts. We are talking about those people who were working, they were employed, they've got a family of half a dozen children or more or less, and they are sincere. They want to seek, they want to work, they want to get employment, but due to the economic climate in the country or wherever the person is living, it is difficult. The person cannot find a job and his debts are multiplying. Because those who are living in their own homes, at least they've got a shelter above their head. But consider those people who are living in rented homes. They, if the person does not have a job for 2-3 months, then the rent multiplies and the landlord puts the sword at the neck of the person and says that if I do not get my rent payment within a day or two or a week or two, then you will be ejected from this home. Now imagine the pressure on the heart of that person. What kind of grief and what kind of sorrow and what kind of pain and what kind of burden is on that person's heart. So here the carrying of the burden of the other person can also mean this, that this person quietly goes and finds out. And if it is a genuine, deserving person, because at present the person who's sitting with huge television sets and with big hi-fi sets and he's got big radio sets and he's got all kinds of other things there in his home, he too says that I'm a deserving person because I cannot manage to pay my rental. One person once came and he said that, Malna, I'm really struggling and battling and I've got this problem and that problem and I have to have money for my lights. And then he was trying to take out the slip to show me, but what he took out was the television license money. He was requiring television license money. By mistake, he pulled out that. So we are not talking about such kind of debts. We are talking about genuine debts. So this is what Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha says, that you carry the burden of others. That means you take upon yourself that I will take over this debt upon myself. I will make sure that I will pay it. The person stands guarantee for someone. But here again, there are many, many people who after standing guarantee regret all their life that why did we stand guarantee? Because there's so much of dishonesty, there's so much of fraud, there's so much of cheat, the niyats have changed. We do not blame some people, they do not want to assist and help in the form of guarantee or anything else, or giving some loan, or supplying goods on terms, because of the dishonesty in the increase. When the person is buying, at that time he has got no niyat of repaying. When the person is taking loan, isse kisi ka karz ada kiya hai ke tumhara ada karenge. In his heart that is there. So yes, Maulana Umar Palanpuri Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, karz hasana ka kya matlab? Karz hasana. Karz hasana means that bas hus kar muh pher dena. That when the person asks for the money repayment, then you just keep laughing. That's all. So here Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha says, this is another beautiful quality that you have, that you take upon yourself the burden of others. You carry the burden of others. And it can go far. We can make the tashri of that into many, many things. For example, there's a person, and that person does not know how to read and write. And there are forms to fill in. The person has got application forms to fill in for his grant or for anything else. Now that old person is running around here and there, so the person assists that person, takes over the burden of that person, that I will assist you in filling these forms of yours. I will take it to the department and submit it for you. So he is taking the burden on himself. There are so many other things like that. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this was his sifat. This was the akhlaq of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومُ وَتُكْسَبُ الْمَعْدُومُ. It can be read in both ways. Which basically means this, that Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not a person incapable of earning. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he did trade. Before his nubuwat, he did trade. But after his nubuwat, because of the burden of nubuwat that was on him, now it was the need for him to convey the message to others. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in his life of nubuwat, after that there was no trade. So, but it's not that he was unable to go and do business. Like sometimes there are great walis of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, great alims, great mashayikh, great buzrugs, and they are 24 hours occupied with a certain deen work, and as a result they do not have the time to go and earn. But it does not mean that they do not have the ability to earn. So Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is also told that you have this ability to earn that which is not there. Allah Ta'ala had given him that intelligence that he could have earned better than the others. There are many of them, if they had gone into business, Allah Ta'ala would have provided for them much, much more than others. It's not that they were stupids and fools, that they could not have gone into business, but because they made the niyyah that we want to sacrifice our life for the deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and for passing on this ta'lim and education, therefore they accept that little salary if they get, otherwise they make shukr and they carry on, sabr and carry on. But they have the ability. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that is one thing. Of course, one person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him that, what are you doing? He says, no, I'm engaged in ibadat most of the time. I make tilawat, I make ibadat, I make zikr, and that is my life. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, what about your requirements? He says, I've got a brother and he provides everything for me. I depend on him. My brother gives me everything. Because I don't work, but I'm dependent on my brother. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, then he is a greater abid than you are. He is a greater worshipper than you are. That you have become a burden upon him. Because there he was just engaging himself in his own ibadat and that was about all. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave us a lesson. That those people who just say that, oh, I'm engaged in my ibadah, they're doing nothing here really, no service to mankind or no service to the creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they are just engaged in some sort of ibadah and they are fully dependent. They say, I'm going to do ibadah, but Allah gave you plenty of money, so you must take care of me. So that is not what we mean here. What we mean here is that they must not have any hope on anyone. If they have any hope on any particular person that he is going to take care of my needs and requirements, then this person hasn't got tawakkul on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He must have complete tawakkul in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that if I'm going to engage myself in the service of the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then he is the provider. How he is going to provide and from where he is going to provide, I do not know. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will open the doors. From sources unknown he is going to provide. If a person has got that kind of tawakkul, then it is permissible for him to leave earning and carry on with the deen work without doing anything. But that person who has got his eye that the trustees are going to give me money, then only I will survive. If the trustees don't give money, I'm going to die. If my brother, my sister, my father, my uncle, they're not going to provide for me, my friend is not going to give me any wage packet, then I'm not going to be able to survive. Then for such people, they should rather do some work, earn a living, and then what spare time they have, serve the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because this is the most important thing, that the tawakkul is not just words in words. Tawakkul is a haqiqat also of the heart. That when the person has istighna in his nafs, that irrespective of multi-millionaires in front of him or billionaires in front of him, or it can be King Fahad and his palaces in front of him, but this person says that to me all these things are like the wing of a mosquito. When he's got that kind of yaqeen in his heart, then only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala opens those doors for him. But when that person has got his eye on every other person, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala humiliates this person, that he has to extend his hand for begging. Or the person, if he's not going to beg directly, he will beg indirectly. That these days expenses are very high and light water accounts are going high and unfortunately earnings are very little. So he will give us indirect speech to put into the heart of that person that he should give him something. Brother, shaitan and nafs are such enemies of ours that we do not know through which direction they come. This istighna is a sifat which will not come to us just like that. That way, when will we be able to take our eyes off everything around us? We will make an effort, we will make use of the means that Allah Ta'ala has created for earning a living, but our trust will be in Allah. Therefore, Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzub Rahmatullah Alayhi's ashar and poetry, which you hear in the zikr on Thursday nights that we make here, in which he says, Dil mera ho jaye ek maidane ho, tu hi tu ho, tu hi tu ho, tu hi tu. Aur mere tan mein bajaye aabo gil, darde dil ho, darde dil ho, darde dil. But the third part is the one. غیر سے بالکل ہی اٹھ جائے نظر غیر سے بالکل ہی اٹھ جائے نظر تو ہی تو آئے نظر دیکھوں جیدر. Oh Allah, take my eyes off all the غیر. The غیر must come out of the heart, and there must be no one but Allah in that heart. And when that will come, then see how happiness will come in that family, how happiness will come into that person's heart, how peace and tranquility and serenity and everything will come into that heart. And not only into that person's heart, but whosoever will befriend that person, that person too will realize that this person has got some diamonds in his heart. And as a result, this person will also find sukoon, he will find peace, he will find happiness. It will be like taking our hot water bottle, because we don't have a fridge. So we take that hot water bottle, the water is hot because it's a very hot day, and we take it and go and leave it in another person's fridge to cool that bottle. These people with hearts which have become hot and heated because of sins, when they will sit in the company of such people, then they will also find coolness inside. There will be such a kind of coolness, such kind of peace, that people travel the world sometime to look for such awliya, so that they may also be able to get that from their hearts. We will stop here. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wills, then in another fortnight's time, inshallah, we'll continue. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us also the tawfiq to bring into our lives those beautiful characteristics of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers, we all know what is happening in Kosovo and what is happening to the refugees. So just as Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam took upon himself the burden of others, it is our duty that in whichever way we can contribute towards this noble cause, there will be a collection outside the masjid by Operation Kosovo. We should try and open our hearts and believe that whatever we contribute, Allah Ta'ala will repay us in different forms. But that should not be our niyat to get a repayment. Our niyat should be to serve, to help, to be generous and to be kind and to be sympathetic and compassionate towards those people who are suffering. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.